one of the things that disturbs me is that we have come to tell the story of rapes in what I call silhouettes and shadows. Yet there are women who think it's very important to come out and tell their story in their own words, in their own name. Sunita was 15 when she was gang raped. And she has chosen to come here without a silhouette, without hiding her identity. I'm grateful to you for sharing what happened to you with us.
She's an amazing woman who does outstanding work. Not just that, Barkha, she continues helping other women.
We should give her a standing
ovation. Yeah, really, really.
Quite embarrassing because I don't think I deserve a standing ovation. I'm a person who decided to live my life at my own terms. I refuse to believe that I was spoiled, I was destroyed, that my soul can be broken by 8 men who gang raped me. It's 24 years since I was being gang raped. I chose to channelize my anger. It is very unfortunate because in 24 years, the anger is not gone.
Yeah.
It continues every day. It continues when I hear the Delhi story. There's a 5-year-old child in Hyderabad right now, battling for life in Nilofer Hospital, raped by 4 men.
Beasts, yeah, beasts. I mean, there is no other word for it.
The way society makes you feel,
right,
cheap, shame and pain. Meaning, when my own instance happened, I chose not to feel like a victim. And I don't want to be called as a victim. I'm a rape survivor.
Yeah,
and I've survived. But it bothered many people that I didn't cry.
We're all crying, I can tell you that.
It bothered
because it's just,
that
you're amazing. You're amazing.
So, you know, she's so arrogant. Look at her. So much has happened to her. And she's walking like this freely. My parents were blamed for the freedom that I got, extra freedom that I've got. But what people don't realize is that as a person, I'm brave in the daytime. But the nights, I have to deal with myself. You have to deal with your nightmares. You have to deal with the sense that some 16 hands had groped you. You have to deal with the pain, the shame that you're going through.
Right.
That you can't tell anybody because if you say anything to anybody, you asked for it. Even today when I speak about it, and I speak about it with a lot of pride because I'm very proud to what I have become today. I have not done a mistake. I don't want my face to be blurred. I am not to be ashamed for. The guys who did it, they should be hiding their faces.
Right.
They should be blurring their faces.
Right.
But what bothers me from then to now is the attitude of the society has not changed.
I have next to me Sheelu from Banda. Sheelu is somebody who has been raped. She is a rape survivor. She's here to tell her story without hiding her identity again by choice. Sheelu ji, aap Banda se hain aur aapke saath balatkar hua.
Ji.
Aur aapke saath jisne ye kiya wo ek politician the?
Ji.
Kab ki baat hai ye?
जे दिसंबर 10 तारीख पर मतलब महीनों में पड़ रहा पिछले दो साल हो रहा है मेरे साथ मैं अपने चाची के यहाँ रहती थी तो मुझे पुरुषोत्तम नरेश द्विवेदी अपहरण किया था जब अपहरण किया गया तो मुझे अपने घर में 4 दिन बंद रखा और किसी मतलब बहाने से उसके घर से मैं भाग गई भागने के बाद एक बेहोशी मतलब हालत में 2 रात पुलिया के नीचे पड़ी रही फिर उसके बाद मेरे माँ बाप खुश मतलब ढूंढ रहे हैं और विधायक मतलब चोरी के मतलब उसने अपना बचने के लिए चोरी का आरोप लगा दिया
आपके ऊपर
जी और इसके बाद जब चोरी का आरोप लगाया मेरे ऊपर तो मुझसे कहा जा रहा है मार दी जा रही है और धमकाया जा रहा है कि आप ये बताना कि मैं चोरी करके भागी हूँ और ये ना बताना कि मेरे साथ बलात्कार ने विधायक किया है
अच्छा ये बताओ यहाँ पर आपने सुना इतना दिल्ली में भी एक लड़की के साथ ऐसा हादसा हुआ
जी।
जब आपके साथ ये हुआ मीडिया ने स्टोरी तो उठाई
जी।
लेकिन शायद इतनी जोरों से नहीं उठाई जो शहरों में होता है गांव में जो होता है या छोटे शहरों में होता है इतना समाचार में जगह नहीं मिलता
जी हम चाहते हैं कि जिस लड़की के साथ दिल्ली में रेप हुआ है हम चाहते हैं कि ऐसे दुष्कर्मियों को फांसी की सजा दी जाए। हम चाहते हैं कि अगर हमारे साथ गलत हुआ है तो हम अपनी खुद लड़ाई लड़ सकें कि मतलब दूसरी महिला के अंदर हिम्मत आए। अगर हम मुंह नहीं खोलते, अगर हम नहीं बताते तो उसमें हमारी गलती है। बहुत लोग ऐसा करती हैं कि मतलब दो दो तीन तीन महीने से करवाती हैं और बाद में जब
डर जाती हैं
फिर बाद में बताती हैं, वो पैसा ले लेके सब शांत हो जाती हैं, अधिकारी नेता मंत्री लोग सब दाब देते हैं मामला को। हम चाहते हैं कि हमारे साथ में बहन और बेटी भैया जो हो मतलब वो अपने कोशिश मुंह खोलने का करे, दबने का ना करे।
आपने कभी सोचा नहीं कि मतलब मैं शक्ल छुपाऊं, मैं अपना नाम ना
बताऊं? मैं कभी नहीं सोचा, ना मैं कभी सोचने वाली हूं। मैं तो सोचती हूं कि अगर किसी लड़की, क्या लड़की की इज्जत नहीं है, क्या महिला की इज्जत नहीं है? लोग महिलाओं की इज्जत में खिलवाड़ खेल रहे हैं। हम भी सोचते हैं कि अगर हमारी इज्जत में खिलवाड़ खेला जा रहा है तो हम साले को मारी डाले छोड़े नहीं।
क्या बात।
I was a victim, but the only difference was that I gave a good bash to 4 DTC people in a running DTC bus. It was broad daylight, 11 a.m. in the morning. Okay. It was Lodhi Road.
Yeah. Yeah.
They did molest me. It would have been very unfortunate, but I was brought up. I belong to a defense family. And it was the same case. I boarded this bus. I was all alone. There was no hero for me who saved me on that day. I was the heroine on that day. I was the heroine. I say it very proudly. I'll talk about the incident. They started with, you know, slapping me, pulling my hair. Immediately, I had 3 targets, you know. One was their nose, their stomach, and their private parts. I did hit them. I kept hitting them. And then how I was saved by God's grace, my parents' upbringing, and yes, I was gutsy. Sports made me gutsy. I jumped out of the bus. I took this risk because I knew if I'm jumping, I would have...
You jumped out of...
I jumped out of the bus. Then there was no looking back. Reached my college. I did not call up my
So
parents.
Can I ask you, because as we end, your message is keep fighting.
Keep fighting. Chakde. Chakde is my word which I always use for the women folk. They have to answer back on the spot, even if it's eve teasing or molestation.
आयशा, आपके तीनों भाई इंडियन टेरिटरी में पहुंच गए, वो फिशिंग के लिए निकले थे, आपकी पूरी फैमिली ही फिशिंग करती है, तो आपको कैसे पता चला और वो इस साइड कैसे पहुंचे आयशा?
ये जब पकड़ा गया था ना, 10-15 दिन के लिए जाता है वो, फिर 10-15 दिन का बात नहीं आया था, फिर एक महीना तक हम लोग ढूंढता है ना उसको, फिर मिला नहीं है, फिर हम लोग ने सुना था, बोलते इसको इंडिया वाला ने पकड़ लिया, फिर ये बात सुनी थी, फिर अकबर में भी सुना था हम लोग ने। 5 भाई है, 5 बहन है हम लोग।
और आप बिल्कुल अपने भाइयों से बात नहीं कर पाए?
इस साल तक हम लोग ने उसका शक्ल भी नहीं देखा, रब्ता भी नहीं हुआ।
आपने कोई वकील रखा है, किसी से बातचीत की वहाँ अब ऑफिशियल से, कैसे क्या लगता है कैसे लाएंगे वापस अपने भाइयों को?
फिर हम लोग को तो पता नहीं है कैसे छोड़ेगा, कैसे वो करेगा, रब्ता करेगा।
कुछ संदेशा अपने भाइयों के लिए इस प्रोग्राम के जरिए?
बस भाइयों को देखना चाहती हूँ।
दलबीर, आप काफी डिस्टर्ब हो गई है, इनकी एक बहन जो अपनी भाई को देख नहीं पा रही, आपको भी अपनी कहानी इसमें महसूस हो रही? सपन जी, आप सरबजीत की बेटी हैं और दलबीर जी वहां आयशा को सुन रही हैं, वो अपने भाई से मिल नहीं पाई, अब यहां पर उनको अपनी भाई की याद आ रही है, आपको अपने फादर की, आप कुछ बोलना चाहेंगे?
हम तो यही चाहते हैं कि जितने भी प्रिजनर्स यहां पर है या वहां पर है इंडियंस, सबको छोड़ देना चाहिए। जितना हमें दुख होता है उनकी भी फैमिलीज को उतना ही होता है, और सबका प्यार उतना ही होता है अपने पेरेंट्स के साथ भी, अपने भाई बहन के साथ भी। इसलिए आज तक हमने सिर्फ जब से पैदा हुए एक बार सिर्फ अपने फादर को देखा।
तलबीर, आयशा की कहानी सुनकर मुझे लगता है कि इट स्ट्रक अ कॉर्ड विद यू।
जिसने अपने शरीर पर दुख देखा था, जिसे
एहसास हुआ होता अपने से बिछड़ने का, उसे दूसरे का दुख बहुत आसानी से पता चलता है। मैं पाकिस्तानी अपने भाइयों से जरूर कहना चाहूंगी, जहां आप इतनी बातें जरूर करते हैं, वहां जरूर उन लोगों से पूछना, खासकर इस आशा से पूछना जिसके 3 भाई पकड़े हुए हैं। अपनों का दुख बड़ा बुरा होता है, उस दुख को जरूर महसूस करो। सियासत अलग छोड़ दो, नफरत को अलग छोड़ दो, सबको अलग छोड़कर सिर्फ ये देखो कि एक इंसान के लिए लड़ना, इंसानियत के लिए लड़ना।
Question on Twitter, and this says, with the United States terminating Osama bin Laden last year, what is the next big target for America in the war against terrorism? And as you answer that, I'm actually going to get up that very definitive image there. I'm going to ask you a few questions about what you were thinking in that moment. Right. What's the next big target?
Well, look, we want to disable Al-Qaeda, and we've made a lot of progress in doing that. There are several significant leaders still on the run. Zawahiri, who inherited the leadership from bin Laden, is somewhere, we believe, in Pakistan. So we are intent upon going after those who are trying to keep Al-Qaeda operational and inspirational. But the network of terrorism, which India knows all too well from your own experiences, is more broad-based than any one group. Secondly, you do have to go after those who are trying to kill you. You have to be focused on that. You know, I recently authorized a $10 million award for one of the people we believe was the mastermind of the attack in Mumbai.
Tough as safe.
Yes. Killed 166 people, including 6 Americans, and we want everybody who was associated with that brought to justice. And it may take longer than any of us would like, but we're going to be standing with you and trying to make that happen. And then thirdly, though, you have to change the way people think. You know, India and the United States are the greatest rebukes to religious extremism. Because we are pluralistic democracies, because you have people of every religion like we do, and that drives the extremists crazy. You know, they hate tolerance. They hate, respect for people's religious beliefs.
I'm so glad you brought up the example of Hafiz Saeed and the decision you authorized that was announced in the U.S. Justice Department, and you saw the response here. There's been some confusion. Initially, it was announced as a bounty on his head. Then it turned out to be a reward for information that could lead to his arrest or conviction. Indians say we've handed over dossier after dossier and all the information that's needed is there in those dossiers. Are you saying there isn't enough information?
No, but we're saying that this is the way our system works. I mean, that's what these rewards are. They are rewards for information that can lead to bringing somebody to justice. We're well aware that there has not yet been the steps taken by the Pakistani government to do what both India and the United States have repeatedly requested that they do. And we're going to keep pushing that point. So it's a way of raising the visibility and pointing out to those who are associated with him that there is a cost for that. And it is a cost that they themselves will have to bear going forward.
Secretary Clinton, has it got easier in your many decades in politics to laugh at yourself?
Oh,
you
sure.
know, in your book, Living History, you quoted Eleanor Roosevelt, and you said a woman in politics has to have a skin as thick as a rhinoceros.
Right.
Has that got easier to deal with the tough things, the bad things, the mean things?
Well, I think it has, because when you've had as much experience as I have, you either figure out how to deal with it or you don't get out of bed in the morning. And I think, for me, criticism, which kind of comes with the territory of being in politics in either of our countries, you have to take it seriously but not personally. And by that I mean sometimes your critic actually have a lesson for you. you know, maybe what you were trying to do was not being communicated effectively, and they are pointing that out. So you want to take it seriously, but you can't take it personally. And that's why I quote Eleanor Roosevelt, one of our great American leaders, about growing skin as thick as a rhinoceros if you're a woman in politics.
A very good morning, ladies and gentlemen. As you can see from the super excited response here at the Jaipur Literary Festival, I do not need to introduce at all my next guest. We all love, admire, and respect Oprah Winfrey so immensely. She's easily the most loved and influential person on television anywhere in the world. Isn't that right? In fact, women routinely say that Oprah Winfrey is the person across the world that they admire and love the most. But here's the important thing about Oprah Winfrey. Her impact goes well beyond television. She's remarkable and inimitable on television, but that's not, according to me, where her real impact is. It's in the world that exists outside the television studio. Many people say that Barack Obama could not have become president had Oprah Winfrey not endorsed him. And most movingly, she's blunt and outspoken in her advocacy for causes that matter to her. Girls, issues of gender, issues of race. In fact, just this month, the first graduation has taken place for the Leadership Academy in South Africa, a special school that is set up for Alexander. For that. And while the lady sitting next to me is remarkable on TV, I think the most remarkable part of her that perhaps some of us don't know that well is her own remarkable journey to get to where she's got. Born to rural poverty in Mississippi, she grew up with her grandmother, who's a wise woman, who said when she was just a kid that Oprah had a special gift. She's tirelessly advocated for victims of sexual abuse, bravely sharing her own experience of having been abused as a child. You've got to hand it to her for doing that. And she is, as I said, out there, empathetic on the one hand, and driven and outspoken in her ideological convictions on the other hand. As a woman, as a TV person, and as an Indian, it is my absolute pleasure to welcome Oprah Winfrey to the Jaipur Literature Festival. What's so special about you is that you give a voice to the ordinary and to the people who live on the margins, especially when it comes to women and girls. Does that come, before I ask you about South Africa and the school there, does that come from your own experience? I know, and I read this, that not just did you grow up in poverty and fight it, you sometimes wore dresses made from potato sacks to go to school. You knew what it was like to face the discrimination of growing up black in America. Did your own experience make you grow up, get all this privilege, self-made completely, and say, I'm not going to allow this to happen to other girls. I'm going to change it for them.
And where are the questions coming from? Do you don't have a sheet of paper?
You've got to give me a job.
Really good. Really good. Really good. Certainly, everyone here, you're the product of everything that's ever happened to you. You are who you are in this moment because of everything that's ever happened to you, everything that you carried forward for yourself. So certainly, being born a child of poverty in what was really apartheid America at the time, had a big influence on who I am today. I would say I was born at the right time because the greatest gift to me is that even though I was born in a segregated southern United States, Mississippi at the time, my great fortune was that I was never put in a segregated school. So for not one moment was I ever indoctrinated with the idea that I was less than anybody else. I could feel it all around me. I could feel that my grandmother's greatest hope for me was that I would one day grow up and be a maid like herself. She wanted me to be able to work for a family that she would just say, I hope you get some good white folks. I hope you get some good white folks. Because that's her dream. That was her dream for me, is that I would be able to work for a family that would be able to give me some level of respect and, you know, maybe let me take clothes home. I mean, it wasn't even her dream that I could become a teacher in a segregated school, but just that I would be able to work for a family that would not disrespect me. So my grandmother never lived to see that I became an educated woman and was able to do all the things that I have done. But the truth is this, somewhere inside myself, my grandmother had raised me to be religious and going to church, and I had developed a personal relationship with God. You know, the Bible says that we are God's children, and I would go to sermons and hear the minister preach about you're God's child. So I thought he was my daddy, because I didn't have a daddy. So I thought, oh, God is my daddy. And so growing up believing that God is my father and through God I can do all things, that's the fundamental reason why I think that in the midst of everything that I was told to believe about myself, I've never believed that there was a ceiling. I didn't believe it when people told me that you couldn't be or you couldn't do. I just didn't believe it. Just didn't believe it. So I acted like I could.
And you did.
And then I did. That's what happened. That's what happened.
To me, and I know to so many people here, one of the most moving, I would say, campaigns of your life has been to get justice for girls who are victims of sexual abuse. Mm-hmm. And you came out on your own show mm-hmm. and spoke about being a victim of sexual abuse as a child. How difficult was it for you to do that, and what made you decide to do it?
The reason it came out on the show is because I was interviewing somebody who was a victim of sexual abuse. And I wanted that person to know that she was not alone. And so it just came out. When I was interviewing the woman who was sexually abused, I had done it a couple of years earlier, interviewed a woman. And I so wanted to tell her. I so wanted to say, that happened to me too. And I didn't have the courage to do it. And I thought if I ever got an opportunity again, I would not hide in shame about it, but that I would let that other person know. So I really just did it for that one person. I wasn't thinking about everybody else. And then after I did it, because when you are, when you've never told anybody, you think you're the only one. So yeah. When I first heard somebody say it, I went, oh my God, this happened to somebody else. So then I interviewed somebody else. Oh, it happened to somebody else. So I wanted her to know that this too had happened to me. And then, you know, it seemed like millions of other women said it also happened to me. Everybody thinks that it's the actual, you know, act of being molested or abused. It isn't. It's the shame that it causes.
Yeah.
And that shame that colors, and really for many girls and boys, I'm now finding out, defines who they are for the rest of their life. So you're right, the act itself is minimal compared to the lasting impact and its effect. So getting people to see that you are not your circumstances, you are not what happened to you, but you are what is possible for you, has been one of my goals, one of my missions, because of what happened to me. And I know how long I you know, sort of suffered in shame and embarrassment about it.
What you said was really important. You said people who are battling cancer don't want pity. And a lot of people, what they offer is pity. How humiliating or irritating or annoying is that pity?
It's very irritating. It gets to your nose. And a lot of times when people have been coming, I've told my mom, I said, tell them not to give me sympathy. I am not a weak person and I can handle this. If I am feeling bad, if I am feeling low, I will come and hug you. And I used to hug her about 20 times a day, so I was fine.
I think you need to give her a hug right now. Because you smiled when he said that. Did that happen a lot? Did he get really irritated of people's pitiful glances?
Yes. Don't ask them to pity me. He used to get so irritated ki mere ko kisi ne aake sympathy nahi dikhani, pity nahi dikhani. You know, just be nice, laugh with me. And people used to see him, they would start crying. So that used to unnerve him.
Well, I know what Yuvraj is saying is striking a chord with so many people here because they have experienced this as well. And Yuvraj has used the term that, you know, you're part of the larger cancer family. Pranav next to me is 16, battling cancer, in fact, almost battled it completely. Both of you had a doctor in common, and you ended up, Yuvraj, writing a letter to him. What made you write that letter, and what did you say in that letter?
Well, I said, Pranav, be strong. You know, I'm there for you, and, you know, it's not going to be easy. It's going to be hard. I hope your family is supporting you, and anything you need, I'm always there for you.
Well, Pranav and his parents are here, and Pranav, you know, you're 16, Yuvraj is 30, he's seen the world, you're a school kid. How old were you when you discovered you had cancer?
In fact, the most surprising thing is when I got diagnosed with cancer, it was my birthday that day. So that morning, my father told me, in fact, my father went to my principal to apply for the holidays. So he called me up, he said that cancer is curable. So then I came to know that I was suffering from it. I went for a party with my friends. The next day only, I had forgotten everything that I was suffering from cancer.
You weren't scared?
No. Because I had forgotten.
Never.
I had forgotten.
You had forgotten?
I had forgotten the next day. So then the next day we had to go for that test and all the scans, the biopsy procedure. Then I really got to know that what was going through my body. And then I prepared myself. I met my doctor because we have a team of 5 doctors where I also got to know Dr. Nitesh. My major doctor is Dr. Amish Vora. So I met him. He gave me the strength. Seeing him, I said, this guy is going to cure me. So I was full of confidence. Now going through it, it's all over. Normal person.
Great. So no sleepless nights?
Sleepless nights, yes.
Sleepless nights?
Yes.
What did you lie awake thinking about?
I used to think that this medicine is doing this. Same thing with him, that hair are gone. So I also went for a self-shave only. When my hair started falling, I thought, chalo yaar, katwai dete hain. So then I went, had a shave. Now the hair are also coming back, even between chemotherapy. So doctor said it's good, they'll come back. Now
And you worried like UV about not being good looking enough? First, I want to tell Yuvraj that's not true. You're still as good looking.
Yes.
No, isn't that true?
Yes, he's still good looking. And now we are hoping that he makes a comeback in the World T20. We know. Him there.
Yuvi, what would you say to him?
I'm just amazed to see his confidence. You know, at the age of 16, he's derived so much of confidence within himself. And he's actually forgotten that he has cancer the next day, which is really impressive. I wish I could do that. But it's just nice to see, you know, him bubbly and positive. And you can see the effect on his face.
You want to say anything to Yuvraj?
Just a better health and a good healthy life for him. And seeing him on the field.
I wish you the same.
Thank you.
Let me just hear from the parents. Your son is amazing. But what was it for you? No,
it was not easy for me. मेरे लिए अभी भी आसान नहीं है.
अरे बी कॉन्फिडेंट.
इट्स ओके. देयर इज नो एंबैरेसमेंट इन फीलिंग इमोशनल. इट्स अ बिग बैटल यू फॉट.
यस, मैं बहुत घबरा गई थी, मगर अब ठीक है.
बहुत डर लगा होगा?
बहुत डर लगा था, बिकॉज ही इज द ओनली सन. मैं बहुत डर गई थी, बहुत ज्यादा डर गई थी कि क्या होगा. मगर सिर्फ डॉक्टर्स ने हमें कॉन्फिडेंस दिया और इसका कॉन्फिडेंस देखा तो नाउ आई एम राइट. अब मैं ठीक हूँ.
प्रणव, यू वांट टू से समथिंग टू योर मॉम?
नथिंग. बनो दलेरिया. क्या
बनो दलेरिया. Shabnam, as a mum, you can probably relate to it, because at different moments, people have different times of strength and weakness. You know, one day the parents are feeling braver than the kid, one day the kid's feeling braver. What would you say to this mother, mother to mother?
I don't know. Looking at him, I would never cry. I mean, he's such a wonderful child, you know. He should give you all the confidence.
आपसे पूछना चाहूंगी कि आपकी जो अपनी कहानी है, बहुत एक इंस्पायरिंग कहानी है. ये भी सुना कि आपके फैमिली ने आपको रोज मक्खन और दूध खिलाकर आके एक पहलवान बनाया, ये सच है?
हाँ, बिल्कुल सच है. और कुश्ती में जितने भी पहलवान हैं, उनके पेरेंट्स का, माता पिता का बहुत ज्यादा उनका सहयोग रहता है. उनको आगे बढ़ाने में उनके गुरु का बहुत साथ रहता है। तो मैं बहुत भाग्यशाली हूँ कि मेरे को अच्छे गुरु मिले हैं, अच्छे माता पिता मिले हैं और अच्छे साथी भी मिले हैं मेरे को, जब भी मैं ये काम कर पाया।
पर आपकी कहानी, आपके फादर क्या करते थे? बस चलाते थे।
हाँ, मेरे पिताजी अभी भी MTNL में हैं, वो ड्राइवर हैं और उन्होंने बहुत मेहनत की है मेरे को एक अच्छा रेसलर बनाने के लिए।
कभी आपने सोचा आप, दिस इज द ग्रेट इंडियन स्टोरी, द सन ऑफ अ बस ड्राइवर हु इज नाउ अ टू टाइम मेडलिस्ट एट द ओलंपिक्स, आपको बहुत हमें डर लगा कि आप डिस्क्वालिफाई हो जाएंगे बिकॉज यू बिट योर अपोनेंट्स हियर, वो सच्ची में हुआ था क्या?
नहीं, ऐसा नहीं था। ऐसा होता तो हमें मेडल नहीं मिलता। वो उसमें मुझे फाउल देते, वो क्वेश्चन देते और मेडल नहीं होता हमारा। वो पूरी जूरी होती है रेसलिंग में और कुश्ती रुकवा के उन्होंने देखा, सभी रेफरियों ने, जजों ने मेरे फेवर में फैसला दिया और जब ही हमें वो मेडल जीत पाए।
मेरी, आई वांट टू आस्क यू, यू नो यू वर सच अ चैंप इवन बिफोर, बट इट्स ओनली दिस टाइम दैट द कंट्री एंड द वर्ल्ड रियली नोटिस्ड यू इन दिस वे। समटाइम्स डिड यू फील बैड दैट व्हाई इजंट इंडिया नोटिसिंग मी मोर अर्लियर? डिड यू फील बैड?
Of course, I'm feeling very bad. Everyone, every sports person, like cricket, lawn tennis, you know.
They get all the attention.
Yes. And I was 5-time world champion. No one's know me, even when I go for a shopping and even I traveling, you know. No one's recognized me, so I'm feeling very bad. Very upset. I'm very hurt.
Yeah.
So, I promise myself when I get a, you know, medal in the Olympic, then everyone will be knowing me. So, right now now everyone is recognizing me. So I'm
now you can't go shopping.
I hope I will not. I cannot go shopping. I cannot walk around.
Yeah. Well, good for you. Ajay Markal, it's a time when people don't like politicians usually, but they've given you credit for being a hands-on minister, live-tweeting through the games. How important was it for you to shed the Neta ki topi and just be a cheerleader for India?
I did what naturally, as an Indian, I thought I should do. I was not there in Olympics as a sports minister. I was there as an Indian cheering, holding Indian flag, cheering as any other Indian would do there.
Yeah.
So that is it. Like, I think every one of our ministers should behave like an Indian first and then a minister, then a Neta. So that is what everyone should do like.
So I want to ask you, Mary. Did you ever feel that you were treated badly for being from the Northeast? Because you've spoken in the past sometimes about racist comments and so on.
Well,
कभी बुरा लगा?
Of course, बुरा तो बुरा ही लगेगा. Every you just ask to the audience also.
Yeah.
When from the Northeast.
Yeah. What they experience?
Yeah. Even when I start boxing, other states.
Would make fun?
Like, yeah, they make fun and they treating very badly, you know. They giving bad comments. I'm very straightforward. I never fight to them. I request them, don't say like that, don't talk like that. I'm also Indian. I'm doing this and that. So if you talking like that, I will not, you know.
Yeah. Today all of India loves you, right?
Now everyone's love me. I'm so happy, you know. Every religion is praying for me when I fight in the ring.
Yogeshwar ji कहते हैं कि भाई family life नहीं बचती. आपकी mother तो बिल्कुल शादी कराने में focus थी. Medal से ज़्यादा भी मुझे लगता है.
देखिए, medal आने के बाद में मम्मी ने एक बार भी नहीं बोला कि तेरी शादी करानी है.
नहीं बोला?
नहीं बोला. और अब बोल रही है कि 2016 में देश के लिए गोल्ड लिया.
तो आप शादी भी कर ली?
मेरे ख्याल से मुश्किल है, 2016 पे ध्यान है.
एंड मेरी, आई एम गोइंग टू रिक्वेस्ट यू टू एंड ऑन अ हाई नोट लिटरली बाय सिंगिंग समथिंग फॉर अस एज वी कॉल द कर्टन्स ऑन आवर चैंप्स टुनाइट.
ओह माय गॉड,
कम ऑन मेरी, राइट?
हिंदी, लता मंगेश.
तुझसे नाराज नहीं जिंदगी, हैरान हूँ मैं, हो हैरान हूँ मैं. सोचा भी नहीं दर्द संभालने होंगे.
That's it. Thank you so much.
Verdict of Naroda Pandey.
What I find disturbing in the verdict is the nature of sentencing. Maya Kodnani, she seems to have been sentenced for 28 years.
You're saying the court has been too harsh?
Too harsh, and I have not
this
seen.
This is a woman accused of distributing swords and instigating a mob to start a riot in which 97 people were killed.
Yes, but we have had 84 riots, we've had so many riots.
Many of us would applaud 28 years for the perpetrators of 1984.
28 years, according to me, is absolutely just in the facts and circumstances, looking to the role that she has played. It should have been death sentence.
Mukul Rohatgi is entirely right in saying that worse has happened, and people have got away scot-free. They have not even been arrested. They have not served a single
How
day.
Do you measure
what did
worse
you do as a BJP? Let me say one thing. BJP has singularly failed the Sikh community in this city and everywhere else. Even today, criminal law has no limitation. Even today, you are entitled to raise those questions. I would be more than happy if those who are guilty are brought to book.
1 minute.
You should at least say sorry to the community.
One should say sorry. The BJP should say sorry to the Sikhs or the Congress.
Those who are in power.
Those who are in power. Okay.
You want BJP to say sorry?
What we are discussing is far too grave to be lost in the din of a political slanging match.
This verdict is a glimmer of hope. But what we need to remember is that there has been a huge delay of justice. Where Maya Kodnani was concerned, on day one, there were 16 or 17 FIRs filed against her. The state dropped those without even investigation. As the judges found, she was protected. But I'd like to draw attention to what happened in Zahira Sheikh, where again on sting, we caught a BJP MLA corporator. Not a victim, not an allegation, but an admission by the corporator that we have actually bought Zahira Sheikh out under great intimidation. We also have public prosecutors, people who are defense counsel for the accused in the Gujarat riot cases, have been appointed public prosecutors, being paid 25,000 rupees a day in other terror blast cases. So by sleight of hand, the state is actually paying those who are appearing as defense counsel for the accused.
You can't keep on making allegations without giving me
the
84 is a heinous blot. Justice has not been done for 84. That was not an era of technology. Today, the kind of evidence there is on the Gujarat riots, we
one
can't
or
be
the other.
In a constant paradigm of what didn't happen.
These charges of prosecution witnesses being bribed or defense witnesses being bribed.
You don't even know your facts.
I know my facts.
700 witnesses have turned up to give evidence.
Your biases have blinded you.
No bias. So anyway, my bias is for citizens of this country.
We need to move the conversation.
I'm proud to say that.
Every time we express anguish and anger at what happened in Gujarat, the answer is always, but what about this? What about this? What about this? Why does every debate get paralyzed in that?
This disproportionate emphasis on each and every case has only one target, namely Mr. Narendra Modi.
It will come up.
Because this is the
but
target.
But he was the chief and minister. How can it not come up? Just like Rajiv Gandhi's name comes up in 1984.
I am no longer interested in Narendra Modi angle at all. Narendra Modi will be judged by history now, more than even the people of India.
That we must use the same standard for everybody. If XYZ is saying Narendra Modi is guilty because he was the chief minister, then Manmohan Singh is guilty for the coal scandal.
गुजरात का जो जजमेंट आया है उसमें हम बहुत खुश है, अच्छा जजमेंट मिला है. खुद का हमारा केस हमको गुजरात से बाहर ले जाना पड़ा और गुजरात के बाहर हमको लड़ना पड़ा. हमको ना तो गुजरात गवर्नमेंट ने सपोर्ट किया है, ना गुजरात की पुलिस ने सपोर्ट किया. एक केस ऐसा नहीं हो सकता है कि गुजरात में न्याय मिल सकता है.
We should have faith in our judiciary. I mean, I find people just talking 84, 2002. I mean, we have had 50 riots in this country. There's no great point only on riots.
Okay,
that's a failure of the political class.
36 children, 35 women out of 97 were killed in Naroda Patia. and the BJP and the BJP government in Gujarat have not even once said that justice has finally been done.
Gujarat has had a history of communal violence, but for the last 10 years there has been no communal violence in Gujarat.
Exactly.
At all, unlike
if
many
Mr.
other
Modi
states.
Could stop all these riots during last 10 years, he could have stopped it in 2002. That's the test.
Why should this mob of workers be treated any differently from a politician who is found guilty of inciting communal violence? You saw it as an open, shut, black and white case.
To me, it doesn't matter whether the person who was murdered was a manager or a worker. We should not mix the issue. When there is a murder and when a set of people come in and they know what to do and they carry it out, there has to be a leader. I do not buy this spontaneity theory. I am not saying there is no social divide. But that rationalization and that justification to me is abhorrent.
It was a kind of a crime which no management, no state government could have expected because it was just not called for. One fact is, those police people outside, they were not outside, they were inside the factory. Number two, they acted very late. They could have acted earlier.
I think the way this debate is being framed here is extremely problematic. We've presumed the guilty already, and we're presuming that we're simply hunting them down. We've heard of a lot of concern for the injured employees of Maruti Suzuki. We are also concerned about them. However, we have not heard any concern for the other employees of Maruti Suzuki. I personally know of workers who are injured and are unwilling to come out and seek medical help. We have not heard Maruti Suzuki reaching out to those workers.
Manesar was in for trouble right from day one. The stand of the management for Manesar was that they would not permit any trade union to be formed there. This is how the problem started in Manesar. I can't understand how any management in the country can be allowed to have a stand contrary to law. And that is why earlier last year you saw a lot of problems happening in Manesar.
The fact of inflexible labor laws means that companies are incentivized to hire people on a contract basis.
So to break the law.
It may not be breaking the law because the law basically.
Why don't we let Mr. Siddiqui to respond to the Vikram agrees?
The law is rigid.
Okay.
Our decision to abolish contract labor from Maruti, from the direct production processes, was taken in September, October last year. By March 2013, there is a roadmap that they will be all converted into our own regular people.
Once the truth is established by the police, if it is established before the court that, and there is evidence, credible evidence, which is accepted by the court that this was pre-planned cold-blooded murder, I will go for death sentence.
Would you say that at least President Pratibha Patil has acted? Because whether it was President Narayanan or President Kalam, many of them chose to actually just not take a decision. President Kalam did uphold one death sentence, which was in fact the last recorded death sentence in India of Dhananjoy Chatterjee.
All these cases seem to veer around a social malaise, a complete situation where women and children are primarily involved, rape of 8-year-olds, 16-year-olds, murders. These are not cases of any political kind of situations. So it is beyond my comprehension to even try to understand why the Congress has taken this route.
This is not about the Congress party. This is about the government of India taking a call. You know, each case stands on its own facts, on its own merits. I think being judgmental or sitting in judgment over facts that you've not seen is completely incorrect.
I stand with it, but it should come as soon as possible. But if it comes after a period, it becomes inhuman.
Given a positive, humane regime in jail, you can take the worst of the criminal and reform that person.
My mother had just gone on a vacation. I'm actually a breast cancer survivor. And we took her there for a holiday. And instead of a holiday, it turned out to be her last day there. What justification is there for this commutation that has taken place? We have not been even told about this. We read about it in the newspaper. My aunt was the only one who managed to survive because she locked herself in the bathroom. And when he was leaving, he said, "I'll come back for you and I'll come back for your daughter."
My brother, he did not know him. This boy had just come back from UK after doing his MBA. And he killed him in his sleep.
all these sentences, these death sentences, are rarest of the rare. There is no guideline, or there is no apparent reason given by the president.
Yes.
There appears to be kind of an impression that it is arbitrary.
I think we are living in a state of national hypocrisy on the issue also. We are in the same media, the same mass movements, the same turmoil, crying for a remission of the death sentence of Sarbjit Singh in Pakistan and crying for the blood of murderers, possibly correctly, in India.
Paul used to live in Singapore. Paul's wife, as we have been able to piece together the story, actually ran away with some money and another man. At that time, Paul had links with Haji Mastan's underworld gangs as well. Paul tracked her down to Mumbai, got into a fight, says that he accidentally killed his wife. Kitne saal bitaye aapne jail mein?
16 years, without parole. They had commuted my sentence to about 28 years.
But you were never sentenced to death?
No, I was never sentenced to death. I started studying law in prison. I did some Gandhi studies, I did some theology studies. I mean, from within prison itself, I started helping the other prisoners.
Paul, what would you say to that family?
It's unfortunate what they've gone through. That sentence will just end the sentence of suffering once. But the person who's in prison is going to serve, 30 years inside. He's suffering every day.
John, I want to get your perspective. Cinema has still been a little wary of confronting many of these alternative phenomenon or alternative social trends. In the process of making this movie, you were telling me that these are issues that you had to really reflect on. How do you get around the fact that you could now have parents who want children to order, who want designer babies, as it were? And what I mean by that is that, you know, even in surrogacy, you have parents who look for women of the same caste or women of a certain complexion. Yeah. And I know that you... And this may sound like a joke, but you've actually got people, ever since you started doing this film, saying, will you donate your sperm? I mean, who wouldn't want their child to look like John Abraham, right? But it's serious, jokes aside.
It's scary.
Yeah, it is scary.
At the same time, I mean, I've got mails, I've got invitations from fertility clinics saying, asking me to donate my sperms and... I think I'd be the father of the nation if I go on. If I keep going on.
Well, sitting next to me is somebody who decided, along with other women in a village, to form a gang called the Gulabi Gang. They all wear pink and they give men a thrashing or two.
आज मेरे साथ इस ड्रेस पर 2.5 लाख औरत है जो अपने घर से नहीं निकल पाती उसको मैंने गाना गीत के माध्यम से निकाला और आज मैं बहुत कई विदेश हो आई जो पढ़े लिखे नहीं जा पाए पैसे वाले नहीं जा पाते मैं वहाँ पहुँच गई लेकिन आप सब लोग ऐसा लग रहा है कि पूरे अंग्रेज बैठे हैं कोई हिंदी नहीं बोला कि हम इनके बारे में क्या समझे उतनी दूर से किराया भाड़ा लगा के
मैं तभी तो आपसे
और आप सब लोग इंग्लिश बोले चले जा रहे हैं
अच्छा चले हमारी बात
नींद आ रही है हिंदुस्तान को ऐसा लग रहा है कि ये सब लोग हिंदी भूल जाएंगे
आप माफी
नहीं माफी नहीं है ये बड़ी अच्छी बात नहीं है
अच्छा आप चलिए बात तो सुनिए
सुनिए पहले मेरी सुनिए मैं अंग्रेजी तो
बिल्कुल नहीं जानती
मैं बिल्कुल नहीं जानती लेकिन कुछ कुछ हिंदी बोलना चाहिए अच्छा। मैं जैसा विदेश जाती हूँ तो जब विदेश में दुभाषिया मेरा जाता है उसको मैं परेशान कर लेती
हूँ अच्छा, अच्छा, तो अब मुझे अब आपने मुझे इसके बाद परेशान मत करना
मेरी बहन हम लोग हिंदी में बोलते
लेकिन प्रोग्राम
अंग्रेजी में
Fundamentalism is not good, whether it is religious fundamentalism, secular fundamentalism or feminist fundamentalism. And you are a goddess of feminist fundamentalism. That's the reason why you are having a prism of seeing female discrimination everywhere.
Since she's calling me a goddess, I want to say one thing. Yeah. Not that I agree with that description, but that everybody would be welcome in my temple.
That's perfectly okay.